singing with me, turn our hearts in worship to our great King. Feel strong. I didn't have, not that there was anything huge, just the daily moments of having little ones and not feeling very up to it all the time. I just thank him for the way that he's faithful and that his grace is sufficient for each day and that his patience is there and his redemption to fix what I mess up sometimes, to forgive me, to bring me back. So I'm going to sing Blessed Assurance, which was a suggestion of Mary Ann's. Unfortunately, she's not here this morning. We'll have to tell her we sung it for her. But I was thinking about the words. This was also a favorite of my great-grandmother, they tell me. And so it's special to me. But I thought I would look through the first verse really quick first, because some of us maybe don't use some of these words anymore. And it sounds a little fancy, but it's really a beautiful song saying, so it says, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, which another way to say it could just be like, what a wonderful confidence that we have, that we have Jesus, we have his salvation, we have his presence with us. And that's like just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. What a foretaste of glory divine, because we are heirs of salvation. We have his salvation. We're purchased by God. We're born of his spirit and washed in his blood. And this is our story. This is what we can declare to the world. This is what we can declare to our souls when we are discouraged, when we're not sure what to do. This is what's important. Blessed assurance. This next song is for all of you kids. So listen up, kids. But of course, I'm talking to all of the kids. There's none of us that can be exempt from this truth.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Yeah. Thank you, sister. It was really, beautiful time of worship. So happy to be here with all of you, and especially new faces. Yeah, really welcome. Stephen, Kayla, and Joshua. I really mean that. We all mean that. And the Lord means that, it's really, wherever you are with God, we don't know, you're already in Him believing or you're being drawn to Him. Glad we're here. Very glad we're here. Let's see. Children's lesson's going to be shortly. Dave's going to do the children's lesson. And what I was thinking, I just, had an opportunity to maybe share something of encouragement briefly. Verse that came to me was, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it and be glad. Yes. And I have a hard time not going a little deeper and wider with things, but, and I don't want it to sound cliche, because that's attached to the meaning that this is the day of salvation. Right, and all these songs we say and it seemed like there was a theme that the day of salvation is related to Jesus Christ, all He's done, and the fact that He rose from the dead, and He's given us everything we need for our life to overcome wherever we're at in life, and whether we're the hard trials are now or they're to come, they will be there. Right, and some of us are probably in them right now, things that people don't know, but so just to remember that. God says, today is the day of salvation, or this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it to be glad. So it's a choice. It's a choice we make that in this day, there's things to rejoice, to maybe hard, right? I was talking to a brother and like some stressful things, right? But when we make the choice to look and say, hey, we can see good things God's doing in our life, right? And that's a strength to us. And that... And that may be the very beginning of the bringing salvation to life in our life, to overcome wherever we're at. So just remember that this day, and that is every day. That is every day. with the Lord is it can be a new day and is a new day. It says His mercies are new every morning, right? And His love never fails. Let's see. Hand over the mic for the children's lesson. Oh, there'll be lunch afterwards, right? Most people know that, but please, we're welcome to stay. Please stay. That's a great time to get to know one another, okay? Welcome to stay, and then there'll be some more announcements later. Good? Okay. Children? All the little children, please come up.
Good morning, guys. How y'all this morning? Good? Good, good. Well, this morning, you remember that song we just sang, Jesus Loves Me? How do you know Jesus loves you? So this morning, we're going to talk about trust. Sometimes it's kind of hard to trust something or to, you know what trust means? Trust is kind of like believing something like, this might not be quite illustrated. Trust is something that you believe is going to happen or take place without ever trying to see it with your eyes. That's kind of a faith-believing trust. But what if, I should show you a little bit. Would you trust me? If I held this above your head and say you're not going to get wet, would you trust me? You would? You want to try it? What if I put a... Hang on. But you know, this is so many times, like this is their life, these pencils. We can get all banged up. Things get poked at us sometimes in life. Sometimes our friends get sick. Sometimes they move off. And we just have a very, very hard time. But you know what? God is our protection. This bag, there's something in there that is protecting this from the water leaking out. And that is how we have to trust God sometimes. Sometimes things, that bag is saying, ouch, you just poked me. And sometimes there are things that poke us sometimes that are not fun. But you know what? God will always be there to protect us. I got one little short little video quick I'll show you.
Quinn says goodbye. Little Quinn befriends an injured firefly and nurses him back to health. Blink becomes her pet. But one day, Blink is gone and Quinn is naturally quite upset. She flies to the forest looking for her friend. When she gives up, she discovers that her mama was right behind her the whole time. Her mama shares that it's okay to be upset when things are hard. God doesn't always stop bad things from happening. But He does promise that He will always be with you and He will never stop being your friend.
Isn't that so many trees sometimes? So there's things that will happen to us sometimes in life. The little bird, he's gone through the forest and he's looking for his friend, but he just kind of got upset. Sometimes it's okay to get upset sometimes, like be unhappy. But you know what? God is always there with you. Like when the bird was going through the forest, to look for his friend, turned around and who was there? His mama. Yeah. And so many times when we have hard times, we look around, Jesus is right there with us. You know, like that bag, things can poke us sometimes and everything. You're like, ouch, that really hurts. But God is always going to be your friend. All right, you can go back to your seat.
Just to take a moment, Eli asked me if I would just do a little filler in here. Kent, good to see you, brother. Welcome. Good morning to you. I know it's been a while. Let's just take a moment and pray for Kent, can we? He's been through some tough times. He's been poked by the pencils, right? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we thank you for our dear brother Kent. Thank you, Lord, for this brother and our friendship and his love for you and his faithfulness, Lord Jesus, in the last 4 years that we've gotten to know him. Even through all the trials of life, you are faithful. And we want to just take a moment and say thank you for your faithfulness, both in our lives and in the lives of each one of your children. And that's why we're here, Lord, just to say thank you with our life and to encourage one another and to hear you encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave, as you were sharing that, my mind went to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I shared this with Steve this morning. We were talking about how God is faithful to us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed." Are you ashamed of suffering? Did you know that's kind of a double whammy for the devil? When we suffer, whether it's financially, physically, emotionally, in whatever way, you know what the devil likes to do? You should be ashamed of yourself. There's something wrong with you. You're not taking care of your body like you should. You're not taking care of your mind like you should. You're not being a good financial planner like you should. Oh, he loves to condemn us when we suffer. But Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is encouraging this young man, Timothy, don't be ashamed when you suffer. Don't be ashamed. Don't let the devil shame you. I'm not ashamed, Paul said. Why is he not ashamed? Here's why. There's only one reason, one thing, one person who can lift the shame up off my heart. His name is Jesus. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard that which I've committed to him until that day." There's a little song. Steve and I were singing it. You want to come help me sing a little bit of it? It goes like something like this. Let's see if we can find it on the phone and sing. It's an old hymn. See if I can bring up the lyrics.
It's a fun song.
Here it comes. Yeah. The lyrics. I want just the lyrics, but it wants to pull up the video.
So we're coming?
No, not you, Trump. Trump comes up advertising himself. It goes, well, let's just sing the stanza, shall we? It's not pulling up the lyrics. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There you have it. Eli is back.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to play a song for you today. I'm just kidding. Which one is a good one? I think this is a good one. How are you doing today? The weather Amazing, huh? This is really fun. It's really nice. The word, we don't have, I feel like in Mexico we have just one season, hot, right, the whole year. So this is kind of fun for a Mexican to see something different, you know, especially the trees change color, that kind of stuff. That's definitely fun. So I want to welcome a friend of mine. I told you about this person before. You might not remember, but I'll tell you the story how I met my dear friend Carla. Carla, say hi, Carla, so everybody can see you. Carla with a K. That's important, okay? Carla with a K. So, you know, I got to the gas station, you know, and I finished doing pumping gas in my car. And then I noticed this lady. She was struggling a little bit, trying to find out what's going on. She couldn't make it work. And I thought, I'm going to go see if I can help. So I went over there, you know, like, hey, can I help you? And she's like, yeah, I cannot figure out this thing. And so, you know, I helped her. The guy that is in charge of the gas station, he came and checked, you know, making sure that I wasn't, you know, trying to do something bad, which I appreciated, by the way. I thought that was a good thing. So, and then, I mean, a conversation with this lady that I never seen in my life before, and I liked her. You know, she was nice and kind with me. And I thought, how is it? Would it be weird if I invite you over to my house for dinner? I mean, that's kind of crazy to ask a stranger, but it's crazier to say yes. And she said yes. It's like, let's do it. When is this happening? And like, I don't know. I haven't told my wife yet. So I asked my wife, you know what? I just met this lady. I think it would be awesome to have her over. She came to our place. We had dinner. And since then, we're friends. How awesome is that? You know, like the Lord is just... It's just a blessing, to get to know more people and have friends. And this time, I told her, hey, I mean, I usually don't do this. I'm not going to share this time in my church. Would you like to come? And she's like, oh, send me the information. I'll be there. So she's here, which is really awesome. I'm really honored. Thank you for being here, Carla. Okay, so we've been studying the book of Colossians. Okay, and I told you I have one more. So this is the one more that I had, at least for now. I bet there's going to be more. But this one is actually, how can I describe this? I'm not trying to make it sound fancy or special, even though it is, I guess. I dare to say this is the hardest preaching or sermon of time of sharing that a human being can have. And I'm not trying to make it cool on me, okay? You will understand why I'm saying this. This is the hardest to understand. At the end of this time of me sharing with you, brothers and sisters, you're gonna think, I think Eli missed this part. And you're right. I think Eli forgot to mention this. And you're going to be right. Man, he should have said this and that or make it clearer in this way or whatever. You're going to, at the end, you're going to feel and think that I lacked something in this preaching. And you're going to be right. I'll tell you why. I'm going to try to describe God. That is quite the challenge. Because God, first of all, He's a person. That part we understand, a person. Yeah, we're used to seeing people, persons, right? Okay, that part is like, okay, He's a person. But He's not just a person like you and I. He's different. Very different. And yet, He created us at His image. So there is something about us that reflects Him. So that's how our brains can have an idea. But I'm going to give you some concepts that are going to be literally, and it is literally, impossible for us as human beings to understand. Okay? Because in our minds, have a limit. Right? And we need to be able to understand things, we need to be able to measure it, to put it into words. To put it like, okay, if I say 3 feet high, you have an idea that, well, that's somewhere over here, right? I mean, because you know how much is a foot. Does that make sense? So in this case, you won't be able to have something to measure it. So it's going to be really hard. So bear with me. Walk with me in this. This God is so special. He's so different. And let's go to Colossians. I'll read this to you really quick. If you can go with me to the book of Colossians. Chapter 1. Let me start here. This part that says, verse 17. And he is before all things. In him all things hold together. You will find out later who the author of this book is talking about. But God is infinite. Now, when I say infinite, probably what comes to your mind is this. We usually use that word when we're talking about numbers, right? And when you think of you know numbers can be infinite, right? Because you can count forever and you will never finish. You can just keep adding numbers and numbers and numbers, right? So that's our perspective of infinite. But also, when we think of infinite, we think, you usually start 1, 2, 3, or maybe you might start 0, 1, 2, 3, right? How many of you thought negative 1,000, negative 999? Nobody, right? So we think of the beginning automatically. The beginning is 1. Well, guess what? The God that I'm talking about has no beginning. I know. It sounds very strange. What do you mean no beginning? It has no beginning. He has no beginning. There is no way to understand in our minds when he started. Yesterday, my son, he asked me a brilliant question for a six-year-old. You know, we went down to Denver yesterday to just spend the day with some of my in-laws. On the way back, you know, we're driving, thinking, quiet. I don't remember what we're doing. And then he said, out of the blue, we were not having like a special biblical conversation. He just said, Papa, before God created us, who created him? Oh my goodness. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, so God was created first and then he created us? Or how does that work? I was like, well, you know, actually tomorrow I'm going to talk about that. But I'll tell you this. There are things that we cannot understand 100%, right? We can barely grasp a little bit of that idea. Well, I'll tell you this, Denzel. God, he's not like you and I. He's not exactly like you and I. He's very special. He's different. To the point that he has no beginning. How's that? To be honest, I don't understand it. I have to be honest. I cannot say that I understand perfectly what that means. Has no beginning. He was not created. He came up with the idea of creating us, which is awesome, and we're thankful for that. But nobody created him. He is the creator. And I told him, and this sounds kind of bad, but we cannot understand him, but we can believe it. And that makes a difference. And I want to tell you this. Everything I'm going to say today to you, if you try to understand it, you might get one or two headaches. Sorry about that. It happens. And that's okay. Now, this is something very important. How many of you remember John 3:16? Can you quote it? What does it say? That is key. Whoever believes in him. Man, thank God he didn't say, whoever understands perfectly who God is and where is he at and how he works, and whoever understands the Trinity perfectly is going to make it to heaven. That would be so bad for us. But God knew. He created us. He knew our minds had a limit over there. He knew that we would not be able to comprehend 100% who he is. And still in his heart, in his grace, he said, if you believe, that's it. That is special. Let me tell you, that is special. It's beautiful. That's an opportunity for you and I to relate to God because he's a person. And as a person, I think he enjoys getting to know each other. Infinite. Don't forget about that. He is infinite. He is immutable. You can find that in James 1:17. He doesn't change. How? I don't know. I'm sorry, but I cannot explain to you. But he's been the same from the beginning, whenever the beginning was. He's been the same forever, all the time, until today, until the end, whenever the end is. He does not change. And I can tell you this, in the last 2-3 years, we've changed quite a bit. Some of us got this new gray style, you know, like it's part of me now. And I thought I could change it, but not. At first I was trimming, you know, out the ones that were a little bit gray. And now if I do that, then I'm going to clean shave. Then so I don't do it. I'm changing. Right? I'm talking about physically speaking. Right? And our kids. Goodness. Do you remember this guy when he, 2-3 years ago? The one that is not looking at me right now? I think he's paying attention, but he doesn't know I'm talking about him. He was like this tall. And now he puts his elbow on his dad, in the head of his dad. I mean, he's changed quite a bit, let me tell you. Well, God doesn't change. He doesn't change. And I'm not talking about physically speaking. His heart, his desire for us doesn't change. From the very beginning, what he wants is for us to get to know him. And that we get to be known by him. Hasn't changed from the beginning. The same heart, same desire. He is self-sufficient. You can find that in Acts. Self-sufficient. This sounds very strange, but he does not need anybody. He doesn't need us. Really? I mean, if we die today, is he still God? Or does that affect him? Like, oh no, Eli died. Well, I guess I'm not God anymore. What do we do now? No, not at all. He does not need us. But yet, in his heart, he's given us the opportunity to relate. Do you think that's special? That's amazing. That's beautiful. Jeremiah tells us that he's all powerful. Now, I feel like we used to talk about these attributes of God, but we honestly cannot describe him 100%, like I just said at the beginning. Because if I were to describe how powerful God is, I have to say powerful many times. Right? When we try to emphasize something, we say, in this case, powerful. I would say powerful, powerful, powerful. And you know that by saying it 3 times, I'm saying, I mean, this is serious stuff. This is a lot of power. Because if you say it 3 times, it's not the same as saying it once. Well, guess what? It's not enough to say it 3 times. I would have to yell and say, powerful, powerful, powerful. And still not enough. I will need to jump and yell and go around saying, powerful, powerful, powerful. And yet, there's still a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of how powerful he is. God is so powerful that if he were to stand in front of us here, all of us will clap, will go down like flies. We wouldn't be able to stand his presence. That powerful he is. Are we that powerful? I mean, when you get to a place, when you go here in the morning and you get in the church, people, they die? Or they were like, oh my goodness, there's something special about you. No. Right? But with him, it's not the same. He's so powerful that we cannot describe it. He's so powerful that with his voice, he can create a whole universe. With his voice, he can say, let there be light. And boom, there is light. In our case, we need to go turn the switch on if we want light in the house, right? But see, you need to make sure that there is power going through. That is not the case for him. He's so, so powerful that he's able to save sinners. You know, that is only one thing that separates man from God. It's three letters, S-I-N, sin. It's such a small word, has such a huge effect in your life. If you have sin in the life, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you this, you're separated from God. But yet, he's allowed us to be able to be cleansed from all that sin. He has the power to take the sin away. And not only that, he does not count that sin against you anymore. If you remain in him, if you're washed by his blood, he considers you clean. I'll ask you this. How many times have you tried to clean yourself? That to get away of your sin by yourself? I tried a trillion times. And maybe I'm going too low. None of them actually took away the sin from me. But he can. Yes. That is a lot of power, let me tell you. That is a lot of power right there. 1 John, he's all-knowing. He knows everything. That is just crazy. How can you know everything? Yes, you know everything. Well, why didn't you stop this war then? Well, that is a different subject. That I know everything doesn't mean that I want to do this or that I want to do that. It just means that he knows everything. So if you think that because people don't know what you have done in secret, that nobody knows, he does. He knows every single thing about us. He even knows how many hair we have on our head. Especially those that don't have a lot of hair is easier. You know, it's like 1, 2, 3. Okay, this guy has 3. In Kerry's case, he's not here, but he has 0 hair. So I hope he's watching this and laughing with us. You know what I mean? He knows all so well. He knows everything perfectly. That is almost scary. You know, like, how is that possible? He's God. You see, he's not like you and I. Are you seeing the difference? Or you want me to keep going? Can you tell the difference between him and us yet? My arms cannot go far enough to describe how different we are. God is everywhere. He's everywhere. How? I don't know. But he's everywhere. He is here with us right now because it's in his word that when we gather together in his name, he'll be with us. But he's with our brothers too in China, in Thailand, in Mexico, in Norway, in the Netherlands, you name it. He is everywhere. He sees everything. I'm talking about a very special person here. Have you heard that before for any human being? From any human? No. And we know of people that have power, right? We think of presidents. We think of guys that have a lot of authority in the world and have power, money, whatever. They are jokes. Not even a joke. Something smaller than that compared to the person that I'm describing right now. Now, in the book of Matthew, you will find that God is perfect. That is a big word. Wait. That is a big word. You know, we have titles for ourselves, like it or not, right? That's the way our brains work, function. Like, for some people, I am dad. For another person, I'm a husband, right? For my parents, I am a son and brother to my siblings. Friend to My Friends. And I think you're following me, right? So those are titles. We have different titles. Some people do PhDs, so they become a doctor. Some people are engineers. There is nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm just saying that there is a way to describe our roles in our lives, right? Well, guess what? God, He has 300 plus titles in the Bible, if I'm not wrong. You can confirm that and let me know if I made a mistake here. 300 plus titles. And maybe you can help me think of a couple of them. Creator, Savior, what else? Father, Counselor. We can go for hours trying to remember all of them. He's a Redeemer. He's a Prince of Peace. Almighty God. You see? I mean, it's amazing. We can get maybe, I don't know, 20 titles, let's say, right, in this world. But He has 300 plus. And I wonder if any of them managed to actually describe the fullness of who He is. It's amazing. It's incredible. Now, God is Creator. You mentioned that title. We mentioned that. I think I did. Creator. You go to the book of Genesis and you will see that He created us. It was in His heart to create us. So, how many of you can create something out of nothing? I mean, I know we have some people that know how to build sheds, houses, barns. You know, I mean, in my case, I don't know how to do nothing like that. But I can create a couple dashboards with my computer, right? Because that's what I do for a living, right? So, but I don't create them out of the blue. I need material, right? I need some specifics from the people that are asking for this. I mean, I need, right? None of us can say something and then it appears here without needing something else to create it. Well, God, He can. He created this world. He created the universe. He created the things that can be seen and the things that cannot be seen. On top of that, there are invisible things. Just to make it a little bit more complicated for you today, trying to understand. Okay? Now, let me go to this one. This is going to be the one that if you were already thinking, well, maybe I can understand this part. Maybe I can, I think I have an idea about when you say creator, or I have an idea about when you say this or that. This one goes out of the park right away. Go with me to the book of Philippians. It's just a couple pages back from Colossians. Philippians 1, 2. I'm going to read from the beginning just to have a little bit of context. Philippians 1, 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Check this out. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is calling the Father God. Let's remember this part, okay? God the Father. Now let's go to Titus. It's a little bit after. If you keep going, Colossians, and then you will find Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. If you're there, chapter 2, verse is it 3? Hold on. 2. Oh, 13. 2:13. Titus 2:13. It says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's calling Jesus the Son of God. He's calling, giving him the same title, God. Okay, now let's go back to Acts. Let's go back to the book of Acts 5. Acts 5, 3 and 4. I think you will remember this story. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. So, God is three persons, and He's one. He is God the Father, He is God the Son, and He is God the Holy Spirit. And the three of them are one. There is a relationship in between the three of them. How many of you understood that? Don't worry, me neither. That vast of understanding God has that we don't. Let's be honest, it is impossible to understand. I cannot even talk when I try to describe that. And we have tried to understand and describe the Trinity, the relationship of these three one beings for a couple thousand years. And we're still here just, I don't understand. That's why the importance of the difference of the word, whoever believes in Him or whoever understands who He is. We have a challenge in front of us. Because if you're trying to understand, if you're one of those people that think, I'm going to give my life to God once I understand this. Or if you're trying to understand, why is it that He is allowing these things? Why is it? That doesn't make sense. How He can be one and three at the same time. Three and one. Father, Son, Spirit. What is going on here? If you're waiting for your poor head, all due respect, with your poor brain to understand this, I'm sorry, you won't be able to. But you can believe in Him. Now, don't believe just because He has proven it. And He will prove it to you. Even though He has no need of you to be God. In His heart, man, He will come down literally, so we can understand it, come down to our level so we have the opportunity to relate to Him. Now, think of a name of somebody that everybody knows that is a very important person. Let's just give an example. Who could that be? You have any thoughts? Give me a name of somebody and we'll make an example with this person. I did not expect that one, Henry. Thank you. I love you too, bro, by the way. Well, no, I mean, but if you go out there and you say, you know Eli Gomez, they're going to say, I have no idea who that is. So, somebody that everybody knows, at least in this country or in our context. Who? I don't know who that is. Tiger Woods. Who knows who Tiger Woods is? Everybody. Okay, Tiger Woods, he was a professional golfer, right? Player. Incredible player. Okay. If who plays golf? I think I have a couple people that play golf here. You know who Tiger Woods is? You do. Okay. Good for you. So, okay. I never play golf. I mean, I play once a year. I'm really bad at it. But if Tiger Woods came in here. Let's be honest. It would be cool. Mr. Woods, if you're watching this video, we're invited to our church. It would be fun to get to know you. We'll give you food, really good food at the end, okay? It would be fun. Let's be honest. It would be fun. Even if you don't play, even if you don't care about golf, it would be a blast to have the guy here. Because it sounds bad to say he's an important person because, I mean, we all have the same value. But you know what I mean, but he's an important person, right? He's a famous person. And on top of that, if he said, I came here because I'm going to pick one of you and I'm going to coach you and I'm going to take you to the next level in golf. I mean, probably my friend, he will be like, pick me, right? Or we all would say, take this guy. He's almost there, okay? But if he said that, let's be honest, at least me, in my heart, I will be, man, I hope it's me. That'll be so fun. Be coached by this guy in something that he's been, I don't know if he's been the best ever in golf, but you know he's one of the best, or has been anyways. And he comes and says, I'm going to coach you. I'm going to train you. And I'm going to teach you all I know, all my experiences. I'm going to pour them, is that what you say, in you. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say, please, me. I want to learn it. I want to be that good at golf. You think that's cool? That's amazing. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I mean, he came out. If he says that, I would say, please, do me, bro. You want to do a Mexican one? He's not going to do it. We know that. This is just, it's fun to talk about this, but he's not going to do it. But if we have the opportunity, we'll take it. The person that I have described from the very beginning, there is not even a way to compare Tiger Woods with this person. Not even a chance to compare them. You can't. We have access, not to Tiger Woods. We're kind of random, right? That he's like us, but we cannot have access to him. But we have access to the special one. We have access to him because he himself made it possible for us to have access. Do you think that's special? Amen. Do you think that's a great opportunity? Why then, sometimes it sounds like it would be easier to take that step forward with Tiger Woods. Poor guy, all due respect to him, and there is nothing against him, okay? I don't know him, I cannot talk about him. This is what I know about him, that he's a golfer. If we would take that opportunity with him, that he's a mortal, probably especially the younger generation, they're going to hear, oh, Tiger Woods passed away. Oh, wow. You will never hear that this person passed away. Well, actually, yes, he died, but he came back. He's resurrected. I mean, on top of all the impossible things to understand that we mentioned, he's capable of dying and coming back to life. How? God figure. I don't know. We might ask him once we're in heaven with him. Maybe he will open our minds to understand what that means or how he did it. Brothers and sisters, we have access to him. But there is a way to do it. We have access to him through his son. His son came and walked among us. He looked like us. And he lived a life, perfect life. He died for us, and him and that act gave us access to the Father, to this God that we've been trying to describe from the beginning, through his Son. Look at him. Fall. follow him. Don't follow Tiger Woods. Follow him. We have this opportunity. We have this opportunity. Let me read a portion of Colossians that brought me to this place. This is the reason why Jesus is so important. Let's go to chapter 1, 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He's talking about the Father. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Okay, now we're talking about the beloved Son, right? In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let me do a little pause here. I was reading this week or last week, I was reading, Matthew and Mark. Once Jesus is baptized by John, and he goes to the desert, remember that part? When he comes back, the Bible says that he started his ministry. And do you remember what the first thing that he says? He says this, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. That is key in that relationship with Jesus. If you think that going to church on Sundays or once in a while and sit down here and pay attention, that will take you to heaven, I'm sorry, but that won't. Jesus himself says, repent. You need to repent from your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Turn around from the life that you're doing or whoever you're following, if it is Tiger Woods or whoever else, and follow me, says the Lord, says Jesus. Follow me. So we need to repent. And this is just to make sure because, you know, nowadays we have, unfortunately, a lot of people. I'm not sure if we can call them brothers or sisters or not. But these people are preaching everything else except repentance and forgiveness of sins. Right? They're saying, oh, you can do everything if you want. Oh, just, you know, if you give me your money, the Lord is going to bless you. Really? Right? So if you do this, it's a condition. Well, yeah, there is a condition, but not based on the things that you can do. It's not about performance. It's about your heart and how God is working in your mind and changing you to the point that you repent from your sins and you ask for forgiveness from the one that you failed to, him. So repent. So, in him, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We're talking about Jesus now, by the way. Okay? We switch from the Father to Jesus. Now, Jesus, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And the firstborn of all creation does not mean that he was the first one that was created. That's not possible because he's the creator. It means that he has the right of the firstborn. That is something that in our culture, we don't have a lot. But in this culture, for them, it makes sense to have the right of the firstborn. That's another subject. We can talk about that another time. But I'm just trying to make sure that you understand that part. For by him, we're still talking about Jesus, all things were created. You see, Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator too. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So not only through him, but also for him. There is a purpose. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, from the very beginning, whenever the beginning is, he was there. He was before everything was created. And he holds all of them together. He is the head of the body, the church. Brothers and sisters, he is the head of this body. It's not Pastor Phil, Pastor Christopher, or myself. We are your brothers. That's That's one of the main reasons why we don't, even though I call them pastors right now, we don't call ourselves pastors. We don't introduce ourselves as pastors. He is our pastor. He is the head of us. He's the one that we're following. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key, and he's also the door. Jesus is the way to the Father. If we put everything we are and give ourselves up to him and follow Jesus, we are in the right way. We're in the right pathway. That's it. It's now how good we are performing. It's now how good we are sharing his word, or how good we are playing music, or how good we are, or whatever skill we have that he gave us. It's not about that. If anything, we need to forget about all those things and just follow Jesus. If we give Jesus our hearts, he will not say no. He has promised. He will take us like the lost sheep, and he will cure all our, injuries. I'm talking about our heart, by the way. because we all have physical things, issues. I got the great idea yesterday of playing racquetball, and my knee today is just like, you're not 15 anymore. Remember that, okay? So I'm feeling it today. But what I'm talking about is our hearts. He wants to take care of our hearts. If you go out there, I dare to say this, if you go out there and you see people passing by and you ask them, hey, can you care for me? They're going to probably laugh at you or call the police on you. Right? But he is the only one that really, really, really wants to take care of you. Take care of your heart. You see how hard that was? Trying to describe him. Trying to explain who he is. Brothers, we have that opportunity. We have access to him. Let's not waste our time anymore. Let's not waste our time anymore. Because we don't know when he's going to call us home. And don't worry, it's not going to be about, okay, did you read the Bible every single day, like 7 chapters? Did you read the Bible 2 hours today? Did you pray for 15 hours today? I mean, that would be awesome, amazing. If you can do it, go for it. What a blessing to be in his presence. There is one thing, and I think I mentioned this, it's in the Bible, of course, to you before. When we get to be face to face to him, there are only 2 options. He's going to say, welcome, good servant. I know you. I know who you are. Because I see Jesus in you. Or he's going to say, depart from me because I don't know you. Lord, but we went to church. I don't know who you are. God, but we read the Bible. I have no idea who you are. Jesus is the key. Follow Jesus. You know how in the movie when there is something wrong, if it is about, I don't know, government or about whatever movie, there is an expression that many movies use. Follow the money. Have you heard that part? That expression. Then you will find the bad guy, the really, really bad guy, right? The one that is in control. Follow the money. And it's going to be a guy over there that he's not showing off, he's hiding, but he's the one that is calling the shots. Well, I'll tell you this, like in a movie, but this is real. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He is the good guy. He is the real one. He is God. And we have access to Him. I'd like to close with this. Let me, oh my goodness, 40 minutes. Wow. That was fast. On Thursday, you know, we met on Thursday, the brothers from the ministry team. And I just want to share with you this really quick. On my way here, I was thinking of this brother in Mexico. He's a pastor over there. And I called him. And I'm like, hey, bro, how's it going? Just saying hi. You know, I just thought of you and want to see how you're doing. And he's like, I'm coming back from the hospital because my father-in-law, you know, he got some issues in his gut, whatever. And so he, surgery. I mean, it sounded kind of heavy. And I was like, wow, man, I'm sorry. And how are things going? Well, you know. And then he remained quiet. And I thought, ooh, I lost him. And are you there? I think I lost you. Are you there? And I just heard. And he started to cry. Like a kid. I mean, this is a 35, 7-year-old guy. He started to cry. And I'm like, bro, what's going on? Well, you know, we lost our babies, twins. His wife got pregnant. They've been trying to have babies and she lost the babies. And that hurts. And then my father-in-law gets this, you know, and then, you know, and people think that we are made out of steel. For some people, I don't know why, people have that concept of the pastor, that they think that they're special people. Brothers and sisters, pastors are not special people. And he's like, and I don't know what to do, man. And he's crying, and I'm crying with him. You know, and that just made me think, sometimes we forget how important it is to rest in the Lord. And I'm not trying to compare your problem with your problem against my problems. We all have different problems. I know that. I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes we forget that we have a place in Jesus in which we can rest. We can come to Him with all those heavy things that we have and, you know, like literally put everything in front of Him. He cares for you. And I want to make this an opportunity. You don't have to share anything, by the way. But if you have like something heavy going on in your heart, in your life right now, we would like to pray for you. You can just say, me, that's it. You don't have to explain unless you want to explain a little bit. That's fine. But we just want to pray for you. Because we are your siblings. We're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we care for you. Because of Him. Because the love of Jesus flows through His kids. Through His children. And that's a way that He shows His love to other people. So if you need prayer, let us know. We'd love to pray for you. There is nothing special about us praying for you, by the way, okay? There is nothing special about that. What's special is that you are humbling yourself and saying, you know what? I need prayer. We all do need prayer, by the way, okay? But I know sometimes I guess we have the same expression in English, but we say we get the water all the way here. Like you cannot like take one drop of water anymore because you're going to drown. You're going to get bad. If you feel like you are there, we want to pray for you. Jonathan, we pray for you, brother. Anyone else? Yes. Valerie, we'll pray for you, sister. Okay. Shall we pray? I'm going to ask a sister. Can you come pray for Valerie give her. We're not going to have mics, by the way. We're going to take, you know, a moment of silence. Please do pray for Jonathan and Valerie. And can I have a brother pray for Jonathan? Just take a time. And let's pray together for our siblings in Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray, Father. We just... Father, we thank you for the life of Jonathan. God, whatever is going on in his life, in his heart, we pray together as a body. We come to you, Lord, in your name, in the name of Jesus, your Son. Please work in Jonathan's life. The main thing, God, is that he can come to a point in which he can see it, that he can see how much he needs you. How much he needs you, Lord. Please help Jonathan. Help him believe. And help him grow his faith in you, Jesus. That you work in his heart and in his mind to transform him. And that all that past life goes away. And that his understanding grows. That he can see who you are and who he is in you. That he gets to know you more every day. And that gets to be known by you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you... We pray that you continue to do your work in his life, Lord. Help him in his relationship with his wife. Father, bless them. Bless this couple. With the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, grace. Bless Jonathan and his wife. God, I also want to pray for our sister Valerie. Whatever's happening during this time that just feels heavy and that she gets to a point in which she cannot take it anymore. God, please can you take that load away? Can you give hope to her heart? Can you strengthen her heart? Bring peace to her heart, Lord. That she can see that you are in control of every single situation, of every single thing. That you know everything. You know what's going on. And that she can trust. That she can wait for the right time. That she can wait in you, Jesus. God, we pray that you continue to work also in her heart, in her mind. That you transform her life. To be more like you. That's it. To be more like you every day. Thank you for our sister and the blessing that she is to this body. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a blessing to go through the book of Colossians, to be honest. I'm excited for whatever is next. We don't know yet. But let's keep walking together in our relationship with the Lord and being, you know, encouraging each other, blessing each other. God bless you guys. We love you. Do we have any announcements or something going on? Christopher, okay.
I understand what Lily was saying now, the hardest thing to preach upon, the greatness of God, because there's a word that people that have done that a lot, and you know, really, there was a word called ineffable, like the unspeakable. There's things like we can do our best, but we can't really, we're always going to fall short. I think you did a very good job, brother, but because you're fulfilling what we all need, and it's one of the most edifying things for us to magnify God. Like, we all need God to be, and the Bible says it, magnify the Lord. Like, you know, right? Like, take magnifying glass. If you're not seeing something so clear, it helps see clearer, and that's what he's attempting to do and doing and making God bigger. But, you know, it's impossible for us to, you know, we're always going to fall short of that. But it makes me think of how, and he preached the gospel to us. And another, and a part of the gospel, too, is that magnify the Lord, but God wants to, and this is the Bible, okay? This is what people have come close to God. It says, desire that God desires to be magnified in your body, not just in our minds, but in our very life, like those that come to believe in God. And as you're doing this, magnifying God in your life, he wants to magnify himself in your life so others can see him as being more real, more clear. And that's, what greater thing can there be of anything, you know? I just had a little something I wanted to encourage the youth, the young, to, and anyone else needs to hear, is that there is no greater thing. I used to, you know, when I used to go on the streets more and just approach people to talk to them, and oftentimes it was younger people about God. Something that God gave me, I would find myself saying, was that, you know, out of all the things we're seeking, like you mentioned Tiger Woods, that was just an analogy, you know, worldly, earthly people, you know, give it up, because we're never going to be able to compete with, there's always someone stronger, faster, richer, prettier, handsomer, all that, you know. You don't want to compete with the world, right? And it's all that stuff God actually says is, he uses a strong word, what's highly esteemed amongst the world, people are seeking their wealth and their fame and their glory, which is actually shame, is abomination to God. It says all those things. Find your identity and your who you're going to be in Jesus, right? In Christ. Because how is there any greater thing? He that made the stars, right? Made everything. Like, that we can, like, come and learn from him and, you know, seek to be pleasing to him. Like, that's just a call to, like, the, you know, youth, like, especially, is don't have to worry about that. It doesn't mean you can't go on to excel in golf, Isaiah. I hope you do. Could become, like, you know, famous. Because, you know, I think God's honored when people can excel in something they're doing, but giving him the glory, you know. Just give, you know, we get lower and God increases. But that's, are we going to, before we give the announcements, I want to pray for us all. And as Elise said, there is nothing special about you know, my prayer, but this is, I'm going to pray a prayer from the Bible, okay? And just everyone, all of us, just open your hearts and receive it, okay? Because speaking the word of God over you, this relates from Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you and me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding will be opened, enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of his calling in Christ, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance to be revealed to us, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not in, only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen. Amen. And something that we need to remember that about the gospel is that it says that the working of his great power, like when believing, right? We don't have to understand it all. I've said it a lot, like, just, we don't understand this, but you believe, God meets us there in the power that begins working in you is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's like resurrection power. That's what the Bible says over and over. It's like the power of God at work in us is God working in us, not just us. And that's what that's like greater than any, you know, like atomic power or anything, but amen. Let's see. Lunch is following again. Please stay this Wednesday night and every other Wednesday night. There's a book study we've been going through, and invite anyone, you know, who doesn't attend, you know. It's not like, you know, no pressure, man, but it's open. If it's good, it's a great time. It's kind of more intimate. you know, as far as you know, his brother sitting around and reading through this book and talking, getting kind of deep spiritual. It's good. It's a good time to get closer and know each other. And then, yeah.
So we're through our book study. The guys have gone through the study that we have been doing, and we ended it the last time. So this time I would like to lead you through a Bible study, and it's going to be through David Pawson, and he's a brother that you have heard me speak of a lot. He's now with the Lord. He was a British Bible teacher for many, many years, and if you want to become familiar with him, you can just put it on your phone. He'll come up. You can watch him on YouTube. So he has a whole series, study series that he had done years ago called Unlocking the Scriptures and the Bible. And his goal is to just make us familiar with every book in the Bible. And so he does it by the book. And so he starts in Genesis and he takes us through. So that's what we're going to go through. We're going to start with Genesis. The first one is actually just an overview of how the Bible became the Bible. And so I find it very enriching. I've been studying the Bible almost all my life. But I also meet many people who are not that familiar with the Bible. And this will be very helpful to you and interesting. Even if you feel like you know the Bible, the scriptures itself, the knowledge that he brings behind the scenes to the Word of God is very interesting. So if you're interested, men, that's what we're going to be walking through. What I'm going to do is post it. The video that we're going to watch is typically around 40 minutes long. Some of them are very long, and we're going to divide them up. But we'll just spend about 40 minutes, and then we'll just have a time of prayer and sharing together around that. And the beauty of it is, what I would like to encourage us as men to do is to get to know the Lord and His Word better through this journey. And so it'll encourage us as men every 2 weeks to take the scriptures that we study, the first half of Genesis, and just read through it. And become familiar with the Word of God. It's pretty important, by the way. Right? How important is it to you to know the Lord that way? For me, it's Jesus said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word will never pass away. So for me, I'm excited. And I just want to invite all of you. We're going to still meet at Dad's house at 6:30. This coming Wednesday night, and we'll set up one of the TVs there. Lucas is good at that, and sit around, and we'll watch that, and then fellowship around it. You want me to close? All right, so let's just rise to our feet. Thank you, Brother Ely, for sharing the word with us today. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious word of Christ that you told us in Colossians should dwell within us richly. And you want to give us more. We have such a good dad. You're an amazing father. That you just liberally want to give us your wisdom and your words of truth and grace and all of the power, all of the blessings. You tell us in Ephesians 1, every blessing in Christ Jesus you want to give to us. We thank you for that. And thank you for the blessing of this food and the fellowship of the saints. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're dismissed.